Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening, I'm glad you're here. And if you've been here before, welcome back. I appreciate you being here, as always. And I plan to be better today than I was the last time. So without further ado, let's get into the show. My guest today is a process-oriented entrepreneur from a small town up here in Ontario. Just over 2 years ago, though, she was working at a cool startup downtown Toronto, but became tired of the hustle of the city. So to deal with this, she moved to Collingwood, a small ski resort town, but she was struggling to find work. But her search introduced her to John, who has now changed from her employer to her co-founder of their new venture called Content Refined, a content marketing service company. Now, let's hack Madeline Taylor. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that you do not have enough time in the day to accomplish everything you want to accomplish. I used to look at my calendar first thing in the morning and kind of freak out because there was no way I would get it done. So that's why I started using Finn as my personal assistant. With Finn, you don't need to spend time recruiting, training, managing an assistant. Finn can do everything that can be done over the phone or the internet. Schedule calls, answer calls, handle travel plans, book service, prospect new business opportunities. Finn does everything a great assistant can do, and it's even better because it's without the cost and commitment of a full-time hire. Finn's available 24/7, 365 days a year. Finn has saved me 10 plus hours a week, every single week, and I know Finn will help you be more productive so you can grow your business the way you want to. And that's why I've arranged for you to try Finn for free. But you have to use this link, finn.com/hack, finn.com/hack. Seriously, free work is what you're going to get from Finn when you use finn.com/hack. Trust me, you will not regret it. When it comes to marketing your business, it comes down to two things: reaching the right audience at the right time, and connecting with them when your message will resonate the most. So the best way to do that is to target your customers where they are every single day and when they are ready to make a decision. That's why LinkedIn can help you. When you advertise on LinkedIn, the world's largest professional network, you have the opportunity to build long-term relationships with your customers. So what's the first step? Talking to the right audience. Well, luckily, every day over 500 million professionals engage with content on LinkedIn, and chances are your future customers are there among them. In fact, 4 out of 5 customers who are on LinkedIn are decision makers at their companies. So you're building relationships with people that matter. To redeem your free $100 LinkedIn ad credit, go to linkedin.com/hack. That's linkedin.com/hack. And you're going to get $100 absolutely free to try out their marketing services. As always, some terms and conditions apply, but it's $100 free ad credit at linkedin.com/hack. All right, let's get into the interview. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. I just found out that you live just sort of down the street from me, if you would.
Yes.
And that's very cool. So we'll see if that comes up throughout this, but I'm excited about this. So let's jump into it, shall we?
Yeah, sounds great.
Excellent. Madeline, you are a woman who wears many hats, but today we are talking to Madeline, the entrepreneur. So could you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That is a great question. And I think I would have to say my ability to take risks all the time. So I took a risk when I started the business. I took a a risk. I take risks basically with every single decision I make in the business. So I think, yeah, being fearless and the ability to take risks is a very important part of my life. And I think that it has contributed to the success of the business, but it has also taught me a lot about failure as well.
Ooh, there we go. Mm-hmm. But this idea of being sort of fearless, ability to take risks, I guess I want to know is, like, do you just perceive risk differently, do you think, than other people? Or do you just not care about what the bad outcome could be?
I definitely care about the bad outcomes that are associated with different risks. But I think that it just comes with entrepreneurship, and you sort of have to take those leaps of faith and sort of build as you go. And that's what I've learned over the last couple of years starting my business.
Fair enough. So 2 years in business or three, is it?
It is just about 2 years of business. Yeah.
2 years of business. That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So can you sort of talk to us about the inception of, so Content Refined is the business.
Yes.
You are content creation, content marketing company, I believe.
Yes.
Can you tell me how this sort of became an idea and then also became a reality?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll backtrack to sort of 2016. I was doing long distance with my partner for many, many years. I was living in Toronto, working at a very, very cool startup in Toronto, actually. And the sort of commute basically every weekend back and forth from Collingwood was starting to wear on me. And I was just sort of like really enjoying the lifestyle up here that Collingwood has to offer. You know, it's very outdoorsy. It's got mountains, it's got water, it's got trails. It was just sort of more conducive to my lifestyle and where I wanted to be. And I was thinking about settling down at that point. And I thought that Collingwood would be a more affordable place to settle down than Toronto. I'm sure you can resonate with that. And yeah, so basically I started applying to jobs in Collingwood. I guess it was early January 2016. And by May, I hadn't even received a call back. And so I was starting to question, like, get a little bit insecure about that. You know, I felt like I'm a pretty employable person. You know, I have great experience. I'm educated. I've got, you know, like, I had a pretty good resume. So I was like wondering why I wasn't like even getting a call for an interview. So at that point, I sort of started to panic because I had made this like end date where I was like, September, I'm moving to Collingwood regardless of whether I have a job lined up or not. But I wasn't typically the kind of person who would just take that risk. So I guess that was my first risk, as we were talking about prior to this. And so yeah, summer went by and I'm still nothing. So I packed up my apartment in Toronto and I came to Collingwood without a job, which was risky and scary. But I'm so happy that I did it because it sort of allowed me to start thinking about other opportunities. So at that point, I was sort of connected with the right people in Collingwood. And I got in touch with a guy, his name's Jonathan Gillum, and he runs like a bunch of online businesses. And so I got chatting with him and he basically offered me a job to figure out a system that would result in a consistent and automatic content creation strategy for his own portfolio of websites. So I got on board and I was basically a contractor for him at that point. I was super happy to have like an opportunity at like a job here, but I knew it was going to be short-lived because it was only a contract. And so at that point, I came up, I did tons of research. Like I had no experience with content marketing or marketing in general. But I did a ton of research and we figured out a really great system to apply to his portfolio of websites. And so once that was sort of done, I was like, crap, I'm out of a job. So what we did was we wrapped up this process, put a little bow on it called Content Refined, and then launched it to an audience. And we were very lucky. Our audience was super receptive to the idea. And that was sort of how we got the ball rolling with Content Refine and how we started a like business partnership rather than like an employment contract.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So this John is now a co-founder.
Yes. He is, yeah.
With you. Nice. Yeah. So to be clear for everyone out there that isn't from Toronto or Collingwood, they're like on the highway about an hour and a half apart. Toronto has, I think, almost 3 million people, and Collingwood has how many people?
18,000.
18,000. So there's a slight size difference. That's one of the reasons why Madeline had trouble finding work, I'm sure. But there was an interesting thing in there, Madeline, because you said you moved back in 2016, I believe, no matter what you were moving there.
Yeah.
And then you happened to get connected with the right people.
Yeah.
In a town of 18,000 people. I know there's people listening. I know they've heard of people getting connected with the right people before. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they're wondering, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
I know I am.
Well, this was kind of a fluke. I had a friend that I went to high school with who knew that I was looking for a job in Collingwood. And she happened to have gone to university with my co-founder's sister-in-law, who had posted a job on Facebook that my friend had just happened to come across and sent over to me. And so that's sort of the convoluted way that I got in touch with John.
Wow. Okay. There we go. There we go. So it's, I mean, it's the network that you have and then probably some fairly active outreaching or just making it known that you're there and need something.
Yes, I did some pretty intense outreaching. And it's funny when I look back at some of my cover letters, they started to sound more and more desperate as I was applying for these jobs. So my cover letter to John was like, in retrospect, hilarious and sounded so desperate. It was basically like, I'll do whatever you want to get a job. Yeah.
So the team as of this point under Content Refined, what does it look like?
Oh, the team. Okay. So it has grown very, very quickly. It started in November 2016, basically just myself as like the project manager, one or two writers, and then one virtual assistant who did sort of all my techie stuff. And it has grown. And so right now there's John, who's sort of like the silent investor. And then I am, I guess, the CEO. I have 4 full-time project managers. And I have about, under those teams combined, there are about 60 contractors.
Wow.
Yeah.
So everybody's not local to Collingwood.
No. So the way that I've built the business is that I'm a true believer in sort of like location independent nomads, basically. So I think that it's sort of the way that online businesses are shifting. And so I employ people from all over the globe. And so I have one in-house employee right now, which I do think is important. But so she helps me sort of manage. She's in a business management role right now. But yeah, I have full-time salaried employees who live in Europe and others who live in Asia. So yeah, I'm a true believer in breaking down the sort of brick and mortar walls of a typical business.
Okay. And so in case you're out there listening and you missed this in the introduction, Madeline is also on maternity leave right now.
Yes.
And running a team of project managers and 60 so writers around the globe. So this is your first company.
Yes.
This is your first time as a CEO, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a ton to learn. I'm assuming that you get help or guidance from John, the co-founder.
I do.
But is there also like, do you bring in coaches or consultants or people to guide you? Or is it all just sort of through the co-foundership?
That is a great question. So I am very, very, very lucky. I have the most fantastic business coach. His name is Henry Das. If anybody's looking for a business coach, he's the guy to go to. I can
drop
his name and a link to his website if you guys are interested. He is amazing. And he guides me and helps me with basically every single decision I have to make for the business. And without him, I wouldn't be I don't think I'd be a very good entrepreneur without him. So I have to give him huge kudos and credit for teaching me.
Wow. I love that. I love that. I thought you were going to say that it was your partner and he guides you, but he...
He's great as well. I don't want to say that he has nothing to do with it. He gives... Yeah, he's great. He helps me a lot as well. But in terms of like the actual like decision-making for the business and like the business development type stuff, Henry is an amazing resource.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And I didn't, I guess, mean to make it that he, that your business partner wasn't going to help or didn't give guidance, but not everybody is coachable in the sense that they think that somebody else could help you more than they could.
Right.
So that's, I mean, it's very sort of, I guess, it's very self-aware of you and your co-founder to be able to have that sort of within you to do that.
Definitely. Definitely. So
what does going on maternity leave? I believe I was looking through my inbox. There was an auto reply email from you in June or July.
Yeah.
And I believe it says till January.
Yes.
So how does one go on maternity leave for this long and also keep a company, not just afloat, but I'm sure growing and thriving?
Right. So I will backtrack, I guess, to October when I found out that I was pregnant. It was definitely within the plans, but it happened a little bit sooner than we had expected it to. And although very, very happy, a little bit stressed about it, considering I had like a 9-month like ticking time bomb for the business, right?
Yes.
And so at that point, I knew that I had to, if I wanted to take a maternity leave, which I valued and what I wanted, that's definitely what I wanted to do, that I had to have the business up and running and proceduralized and basically up to a point where I could step away from it and it would keep running on its own. And so at that point, I had a lot of work to do because the business was not ready for that in any way, shape, or form. It was only a year old and most of the procedures were in my head. At that point, I basically sat down with my business coach, Henry, and we wrote out like an org chart for where we were at that present moment and where I wanted to be sort of come June. And so with that org chart, it was like a now and a then scenario. And then I knew exactly like what SOPs I needed to create and put down into paper for both like my business at that time and then where I wanted it to be in 9 months. And so we systematically worked through that over that 9-month period. And by June, I was to a point where I could step away from it, which is great.
So proceduralizing, I've never heard that word. I like that word.
Yes.
Doing that, writing out the org chart with your business coach, figuring out where you are, where you want to be. But how does one go from having all procedures in your head to having them all down on paper?
A lot of work.
But is it literally just sitting down and writing it out?
It's basically every single time you do something, writing it out. And then if you find a better way of doing it throughout sort of that 9-month period, then going in and sort of like tweaking the SOP to make it more efficient and just, basically what I like to compare it to is, you know, when you have like a construction project, like no builder is going to like build a building without a set of plans, right? And so that's what I like to compare my like SOP portfolio to. It's the plans that sort of like the blueprints that hold my business together. So that's how, that's what I like to compare it to and what I hold the importance to. Like they're so important and my business would fall apart without them.
I love it. I actually come from like a construction background in my younger years.
Oh.
That's what my dad is in. So having that analogy to it really makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Sort of the blueprint and the plans of how you would go about building this, whatever that this is.
Yeah.
So can we talk customer acquisition?
Yes.
In the sense of, I mean, it sounds like the original plan was for you to come up with a way to create content at scale in sort of an automated way for John's companies. So he was, quote unquote, your first customer, say. But then when you guys decided to go into business, what is it you did to go and get your first customers?
Well, we were super lucky because John, for the last like 8 years or so, has been running his own blog online. So it's basically a blog on like how to make money online. And so he shares all sorts of different hacks and whatnot on this blog. And so he, like, as like online businesses have become more and more prominent over the last decade or so, he ended up getting quite the following on that blog. And so he has like a mechanism that captures emails for all of his blog subscribers. And so we basically just took that list and launched that list because this was such a relevant business for that audience. And so that was our first customer acquisition strategy. And then since then, so that kept us afloat and very, very busy for the first year of the business. And then once we had sort of tapped out that market, we realized that we kind of had to do some of our own marketing. So like we were very lucky that we really didn't have to do much marketing within the first year of our business. But now we do paid like Facebook advertising, we do paid Google, we do podcasts, we do videos, we do, what else do we do? We cookie people, you know, like we've done quite a few different strategies and we're still working on that. Like it's something that is going to be a constant grind, I think.
Are your customers local or global?
Global. Yeah. We don't have any local customers at the moment, actually.
Because you prefer to get paid in American dollars?
Yes.
Sorry, everybody listening that isn't Canadian. That's a Canadian inside joke. All of our Canadian online companies charge US dollars because your dollar is worth so much more than ours is.
Yeah.
So we get a 30% raise just by charging
your dollar.
So with this idea of, let's call it projects. And so whether this is a new sort of customer acquisition project or whether it's like a project deciding to do something new within an offering that you're going to make to your clients, like you have article packages, you have keyword packages. I'm sure that might grow in the future.
Yeah.
You're the CEO. You're actually away from the desk right now.
Yeah.
But there's still, and because you're about talk about procedures now, I would like to know from all the ideas that come, I'm sure to you, to your partner, and also to the team in general, I would like to know as the CEO, and whether that's a written process or just a gut process you go by, Madeline, but what's a process you go through right now to decide that a new project is worth not only your time, but also your team's time, energy, and resources?
That is such a great question. So everything that we have done, we have essentially beta tested. So, you know, our first clients were beta clients. So our first three clients were beta clients to see if this like would actually be a good offering to people, whether we were actually able to produce the type of content that we wanted to be able to offer people. And so that in itself is always evolving as well. We always keep adding, taking away different procedures because content marketing changes all the time. So we need to make sure that we're changing all the time to stay relevant and current and useful to people. So that's sort of our main thing, is just to keep evolving as the internet and as different algorithms evolve. But then we've tried other things. So our keyword research packages were well received as well. So we keep offering them. But then we did a beta test an email marketing service because one of our project managers has about 15 years of experience in email marketing. And for whatever reason, that just didn't resonate with our audience. We were able to execute it, but people, I think, wanted to stay in control of their own email marketing strategies and didn't want to outsource that piece. So that was a failed project. Not a failed project. That was a project that just didn't stick. So we canned it. So within 4 or 5 months of offering the service, we looked at the numbers and just realized that it wasn't worth it after our beta testing phase. So I think it's very important to beta test every single project that you would like to launch to an audience to see if it's actually something that they want. And if it's not, can it as soon as you get those numbers back.
So by beta test, you're still fully testing it and sort of launching it. You have it in mind that this is a test.
Yes.
We're not, no matter what happened, we're going to just plow through this no matter what.
Yeah.
The idea is that it's a test and you have to see the numbers. And I would think at 4 and 5 months that you're waiting long enough to have that test. It's not coming back in 3 weeks and being like, nope, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because you have to invest
in your ideas and again, come back to the risk aspect. It's going to be a little bit risky, but as long as you don't lose your shirt, it's I think, never a waste.
Right.
To explore different avenues.
Right. Otherwise, you're just guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that we did when cryptocurrency was sort of trending, we tried to offer like a cryptocurrency like white paper editing service, and it stuck a little bit. But then as soon as crypto started declining majorly, it stopped being as relevant and stopped being as sought after. So we canned it. So I think that's a really important like thing to be able to do in your business is start projects and can them when they're no longer as relevant or as, and when your margins aren't there anymore.
Especially being quick like that, because crypto, the whole crypto rise was pretty quick and it dropped off pretty, like all within a year.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to see that, because I mean, it could have kept going just as easily. I mean, any crypto nerds out there, don't argue with me about this. That's not the point. But it could have in whatever that market was, and you would have been sort of at a forefront place for it.
Yes. Yeah. And now I'm kicking myself for not cashing out my ether when I had it.
Well, you might as well hold on to it at this point.
Well,
that's what I'm doing.
I think it's at like $120.
I've stopped looking.
Yeah, I think I did too.
All right, Madeline. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation that I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. I would like to wrap up on one final question for you if I could.
Yes.
So this one will be interesting because this is sort of geared towards people who have been at this game for 10, 20 years. And you've been at this game for like 2 years of building businesses, but still equally as fascinating to me.
Thank you.
So I've interviewed almost 500 people, and there seems to be this place that we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, Madeline. It's kind of like, I'm calling it like this entrepreneurial gap where there's this place where we want to be, where we feel like we'll see ourselves as successful. So when you hit your 75th employee in 3 months, you'll see yourself as successful. Or when you hit that revenue target in 6 months, whatever it happens to be, you and I both know that the second you hit that, or even right before it, you're going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future.
Yes.
Which I agree we need. That's what pushes us forward. But rather than looking forward right now, I would love it if you could stop and turn around and look behind you at the last couple of years from Toronto out to Collingwood to now building your own successful business. Can you tell me, looking at the highs, lows, wins, and losses, how do you feel about this journey up until today?
Oh, I feel like very fulfilled and excited for the future. And I wouldn't change a single thing. And that includes my failures. And that includes the beta testing that hasn't gone well. And yeah, I just hope that I'm able to learn as much in the next 2 years as I have learned in the last 2 years. And I think that if you stop learning, then that's a problem, and you should have bigger goals.
I love it. All right. So we've talked about your business, Madeline, in passing throughout the conversation. The business is Content Refined.
Yeah.
Could you now tell people what the business does, who it's for, and where they can track you down online?
Absolutely. So just in a nutshell, Content Refined is a content marketing agency. We do data-driven content. So we do a ton of data analysis on different off-the-shelf content marketing tools and then apply it to our content creation strategies to make sure that your content actually performs online. So we are very accountable for your content's performance on search engines. So you can track us down at contentrefined.com to learn more. And if anybody who's listening is interested in trying out the service, you can find a 20% off coupon code in the episode notes. I just haven't created it yet. So I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be, but it's going, but it will give you 20% off month one of our service. And yeah, did I cover everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Contentrefined.com is the place. There's some links to like a business coach to a co-founder's blog that we're going to add to the show notes later. Madeline's going to email me those links.
Yeah.
Also the link for the 20% off. I will know it by the time I'm doing the final recordings of this episode. So right like minute, 1 minute from now, I will tell you what that link is, but I don't have it quite yet, but I do thank you for offering that to the audience.
Yeah, no problem.
For content marketing is, I've said it before, and every single business in this world is currently in the content marketing business. I think just most of us haven't realized it yet. But that's the game that we're playing with the internet at this point.
You need it.
You do. You do. And it takes so much damn work to create good content yourself. So Content Refined is the place you could take a look if that's what you're looking to do with your business. So once again, Madeline, thank you so much for taking time out from your brand new child and from yeah. your day. I really, truly do appreciate it. And I don't know, just keep doing what you're doing because it is really awesome to watch.
Thank you so much. I'm super grateful that you had me on the show. Thank you.
So it seems the journey from big city startup employee to small town entrepreneur involves a lot of change or transformation, as we could say, both personally and I guess within mindset and the actions that one takes. So I really, really enjoyed the conversation. And there was a lot of things that Madeline said throughout it that really sort of stood out to me. So I have the hard job now of picking out one of them and bringing it to you. But you know what? I'm up for the task. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
So what we did was we wrapped up this process, put a little bow on it called Content Refined, and then launched it to an audience. And we were very lucky. Our audience was super receptive to the idea. And that was sort of how we got the ball rolling with Content Refined and how we started a like business partnership rather than like an employment contract.
And that's the hack. Madeline, Madeline, Madeline. I love this. Many of us always wonder like where the sort of the conception of the idea for a business comes. Because we hear about them, we see them sort of further down the line. And I love what Madeline says because this is so often where things come from. And if you're stuck sort of coming up with that idea of what you should create next, look sort of inward. So Madeline had been employed by her now co-founder to create processes within his business, to create a system. Once she did, she was like, wow, I'm now out of a job. And then they thought, what if we package this up? This is now called productized servicing. And so if you go to Content Refined's website, you'll see that they offer two or three packages. That's it. This is what you get. And it's not just like a general service of freelancers. It's productized. So yes, they sell content, but they sell it in a productized way, meaning they kind of create a product of it. And there's lots of companies out there now that do this. And it's a really, really smart way to do it because we're all good at things. We all have sort of processes, even if they're not written out yet, we have processes of things we do that others would be in awe of the way we do them. And don't tell me that you don't, because we all do. We just sometimes we have to look deeper and deeper to find those things and to become aware of them. But I love this idea of, wow, here's a process that we figured out. We sorted it out for ourselves. Now let's package it, put a bow on it, as she says, and then let's put it out to the world. They had an audience they could put it out to, but I mean, you can get a quote unquote audience for $100 with Facebook ads if you wish, or Google ads. It doesn't matter. You can buy the people for $100, $150, even $50 if you wanted to put them in front of an offer and see if they buy. We could endlessly sit around twiddling our thumbs, wondering, I wonder if this would work. I wonder if this would work. Put up a landing page. They're easy to do. You can use WordPress. You can use lead pages. There's endless things out there to make these things simple and fast so you can test them and know. I love it, Madeline. Thank you so much for sharing with us. All right. So that was a lot of fun. Remember, whether you're still thinking about starting your first side hustle or your first business, or you're a longtime business veteran, but you want to get better, know that if at any point in your journey you decide that you want more, that you want to get serious and take the next step, not just as a dreamer, but as an entrepreneur, I'm ready for you. I've got courses, I've got blog posts, I've got endless podcasts to teach you if you wish, or I can be hired as a personal business coach if that's what you want. But if you want to get started with an online business, a profitable, scalable online business, following the exact formula that I've used for the past 10 years for myself and countless clients, go to roadmaptofreedom.co and you can download a guide I made. It's beautiful. And you can learn the 21 steps to starting a profitable online business right now. Seriously, it's absolutely made for you. And when you're done that, hacktheentrepreneur.com. I'll put the links that everything mentioned in this episode, including that other business coach that Madeline has, I'll link out to him as well, and Content Refined, and some social media for Madeline herself. All right, I've had an absolute blast with this. I hope you've enjoyed it too. I hope that I've succeeded and was better than I was the last time. But I'll leave that up to you to decide. You can tell me if you want on social media, track me down on Twitter. I'm always there. But either way, I hope to see you next time. And until that time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.